Welcome to Loving the Christ Life. I'm Brad Wilson. Thanks for being with us today as we continue our wonderful study with Warren Litzman on the cross. This program is produced weekly by the Christ Life Fellowship. Be sure and check us out, christ-life.org. Now, let's get right into part number 18 of the cross. Here's Warren.
I want to leave you two portions of Scripture based on what I have talked about during this conference. The crucifixion of Jesus. When I began this series of messages, I began them on the note that the Apostle Paul was the only one in the Scriptures, in the record of the Scriptures, who knew what was happening at the cross. He is the only one that wrote about it. And the depth by which he treated it goes beyond our comprehension. We will be a long time figuring out all the things that he was faced with in the cross. But he had very strong feelings about the death of Jesus Christ. And I want to leave with you scripture that you might use to apply your life and what it means to the cross, what it means to Jesus and his death. In 2 Corinthians 4, I want to begin reading at verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side." Here's one of his lists, one of his five awful lists, I call them. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." And here's the verse I want you to take to heart. "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be made manifest in our body." I've just read to you scriptures that you will never get a interpretation of from the faith ministry or from the charismatics. This is why they don't preach Paul. Probably the strongest, one of the strongest faith school. In fact, it's a Rhema school in the United States. I know the leader of that school. I preached with him many years ago, very often. He will not preach Paul. He says Paul never had faith. And he bases it on scripture such as this. And I'm very candid with you about it, because many of you are faced with such issues as this. How can you still have faith in God and suffer? Because the modern faith message says if you have faith, you'll never suffer. You'll never hurt. And you have enough faith, you'll have a good life. The Apostle Paul says in these words that he's troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. But the reason he speaks of this is because he is always bearing about in his body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifested. So Paul says, if I do not bear in my body the suffering that comes my way, even as Jesus did, then I cannot in my body express this Christ. You cannot separate his death from his life. And you cannot separate the troubles and trials you have in life from the Christ that is in you. If you separate the two, you're in gross error, because you're not going to follow this Jesus. You're not going to have Christ in you in his fullness, and then you not have suffering. So what do you do with suffering in life? How do you handle that? He says that we might manifest in our body the life of Jesus. Read on in verse 11 now. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. Second time he said that. What is he saying? What you think to be death is what produces life. What happened on the cross is what produces eternal life. You can't separate the two. Verse 12, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Death works in us, but life in you. You are ambassadors for Christ. You are representing him on this earth. This earth is not your country. It's not your home. You're an ambassador here. So you're going to suffer and hurt, but in doing so, you're going to bring life to others. What you go through to be a Christian and prove faithful brings life to others. You would not bring the Christ life to others if you had not suffered and hurt. Now, don't misinterpret that to saying, well, I need a whole lot more suffering. Don't ask for it. It's around the corner, so just hold steady. We're always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? It is at our lowest moment that we claim Christ that we have a testimony to others. It's not when you're singing and shouting and jumping up and down and claiming victory and everything that you're manifesting Jesus. One more scripture and I'll be through. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 23, if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And let me tell you what that means. That doesn't mean if you don't continue, you're not a Christian. What it means is you can't be anything but a Christian once you've been rebirthed. You can't fall away from that. What you fall away from is trust in Christ. The term fall from grace in Paul's message meant exactly what it said. You fall from grace living. You don't fall from being a Christian. You can't lose your salvation. You fall from grace because you decide I can do something on my own aside from the Lord. That's falling from grace. Grace means you can do nothing within yourself. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Okay, what gospel are we talking about here? We're talking about the only gospel that has to do with the born again, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I think that's a most remarkable statement. I don't know what he meant by that. But he says that this gospel he preached went further than any other gospel. The 12 apostles was given the challenge 5 different times before Jesus left to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and they never did it. But Paul says, this gospel I preach has gone to every, what is it? To every creature which is under heaven. Like I said, I don't know how far that reached. Must have been those as far as it were in the world of his day. Verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for the church's sake. You know what he did? He knew he could never suffer for his sin. That was taken care of by the death of Jesus on the cross. And he makes mention of that a number of times. But what he says here is that I can't follow Jesus and not allow my sufferings to fill up what it is I need to be as an ambassador for Christ. So he took everything that happens to him. And it's as if he said, that's good, because my flesh needs this. And I'm becoming a closer follower of Jesus because he suffered, hurt, and died for me. And now a little bit of suffering and hurt on my part is simply filling up what I need to be a follower of Christ. See, that runs deep. I'd like to sit here and tell you, this wonderful crowd of people, I'd like to tell you that there's a walk in God where you never suffer. You never hurt. You never be persecuted. I'd like to tell you that you could reach a state to where that didn't happen. But Paul never reached it. And the fellows that were given the message like that of the kingdom, very few of them ever did anything with it. There's only 4 or 5 of the 12 that we even know what happened to them. They never carried through. And you're going to find that in those who teach to you that suffering and hurt and pain is of the devil. In time, they'll not carry through. They won't carry through. I've been at it longer than most. In fact, back in the early 1950s, we had an organization called the Voice of Healing. It had 120 evangelists in it that had a healing ministry, and I was one of them. Do you know what? I'm about the only one left. They were all healers, but I'm the only one left. They all said if you had enough faith, you wouldn't get sick, but I'm the only one left. I'm not something special. It's just that I learned through the years that there was a whole lot more to life in the scriptures than what was in the kingdom message. Paul says, I'm filling up in my life those things that were real to Christ and his suffering. How you getting them, Paul? I'm persecuted, but I'm not defeated. I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. I always taught people, if you had faith, you never said a negative word. So when you were prayed for, you went around saying, I'm healed, even if you're not healed. One day the Holy Spirit said to me, you've raised up enough liars, now start telling them the truth. The Holy Spirit said, if you hurt, doesn't hurt to tell God you hurt. Are you trying to hide it from him when he knows more than you do that you hurt? You say, well, if you really got faith, you'll be positive. Well, who am I looking to my healing for? The only one that knows how much I hurt, what my trouble is, and how much faith I have. He knows all that. So you see, in the gospel of grace, the whole principle that we have been led by is turned around. Sometimes it drops out. But it's completely turned around. Grace has turned the law around. But I wanted to finish these verses, and I try to here. Verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, I won't take time for this, but that's the most awesome statement Paul makes. He says that the word of God is only fulfilled by what it is he has to say. He finishes the scriptures. He has the final gospel. And he makes that statement two or three other times in his writings. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, there's two ways to read that. The first part of that 28th verse says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. It is not what we do that presents every man perfect to Christ. It is not our teaching and preaching that presents every man perfect in Christ. Why do I say that? Because you are already perfect in Christ. By Christ in you, he stands perfect before God. Thus, the teaching and preaching tells you that you are perfect. Every one of you in this room that's born again stand perfect before God in spirit. But you don't know that, so you don't live it. The man who said he suffered all things to fill up the suffering of Christ in his own body stood perfect before God. He wasn't getting more perfect. He wasn't getting more of Christ. He was adding to his love affair. The love affair is growing. My whole purpose in talking to you here in South Africa is that you might be presented perfect in Jesus Christ. When? As a result of the teaching and preaching. Why? You're already that and don't know it. You already are perfect to God and you don't know it. You're not perfect of yourself. Yourself is dead, but you're perfect of the life that is in you, which is Christ. That's your perfection. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So the cross of Christ introduces you to another way of living, an honest way of living. Because nobody serves God who doesn't have troubles and trials. Nobody has a perfect faith, but we have a perfect life. Nobody gets everything they ask for, unless they're insane. Everybody fails, even Paul did at times. But he stood perfect before God in all things. That's grace. That's grace. As we leave you on that note. What a blessed time it is to be here in Africa with you. I wish I had two of every one of you. We love you that much. Those of you who make great efforts to get in these meetings, God bless you. And let me tell you one last word, a love command. If you want to continue to grow in this message, you need to hear the message each time it's presented. If you can possibly make PE, do it. If it's a great sacrifice, do it. If it's an impossibility, trust God. And if God doesn't make a way, we'll see you here next time. But that's the way you need to consider it. This is your Bible school. This is where your life is turned around. This is where your joy and peace and happiness will come from in this gospel. You may not hear this gospel in many other places. And so you need to stick with us until you learn what it is God has for you. Don't be weird in well-doing. You're not going to catch on to this overnight. You think maybe you're smart enough to do that, but God is smart enough not to let you do it. He tests and tries, and he takes you through the hard places, and he sees whether or not you're worthy to be an ambassador. He's got a lot of children he knows are not interested in this. They're going to meet him in heaven. But I'm going to tell you about those that don't know Christ as their life. When they get to heaven, they're going to have to go to school all over. The Lord has already taken enough Christ-life teachers on to heaven, getting them all set up in orientation for all these preachers that are coming up there that don't know Jesus as their life. We've had some from South Africa to go up there, and if you want to know what they're doing, they're sitting in classes where the Lord's telling them how to reach these unbelieving preachers. You're precious. God love you. Reach over and take your neighbor by the hand.
Our time is up for today, but I promise we'll pick up right here where we left off next time as Warren Litzman continues this great study on the cross. Again, let us encourage you to go to our website, christ-life.org, christ-life.org. Read all about us, read all about this wonderful In Christ message, and be sure and visit the bookstore and look at some of the great material Warren left behind for you and your own home. Our thanks to Robbie Litzman for allowing us to go into the archives each week. Valerie Hill does our Twitter account. Tammy Laycock does the weekly podcast notes, and the program is produced weekly by the great Teresa Ferraro from the Christ Life Fellowship. Until next time, I'm Brad Wilson, loving the Christ Life.